You are listening to CFRO Community Radio Station. The upcoming show, Conscious Living Radio, is a program that explores frontiers of consciousness, spirituality, personal growth, emerging paradigms in psychology, health, science, and innovative philosophies that reflect commitment to the advancement of individual, social, and global transformation.
I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river.
Hi everyone, Tasha Sims here with Mark Caron. Like, did you forget there was a beat? Mark is in a Starbucks, believe it or not. The radio station is open, so I think maybe our next show or the one after, we're going to be back live, which will be like live in the station, which will be super exciting. Of course, you're listening to Conscious Living Radio 100.5 FM in Vancouver on Co-op. And then as podcast available on Conscious Living Network and our YouTube channel. What else, Mark, before we lose
our
you?
Our Facebook page, consciouslivingradio.org, YouTube. We just had to adapt with the change in the world a couple of years ago, and it's been a pleasant change because we've been able to, you know, take our radio show and bring it onto social media in a live broadcasting way. So we're excited about that.
I couldn't do any of it without you, honestly. Like, it's like way beyond my...
It's been my pleasure because I've had the opportunity to learn a lot and just be part of, you know, an online live stream that, you know, reaches more people in a different way. Yeah. And that's exciting.
Very true. So we are broadcasting out of Vancouver and it is sunny. I just want to make that statement. And our guest today, I believe, is up in the middle of the night. We're going to hear about that in a sec. I have a feeling, right? Time zone? No.
Why not?
I know what I've done. Never mind. I've mixed up people, but that's okay. So you're in our time zone, Wendy.
Yes.
Our guest today is Wendy Coulter. She is a certified medical intuitive, a wellness coach, founder of The Practical Path. Her accredited certification program, Medical Intuitive Training, has been pivotal in helping wellness professionals develop and optimize their inherent intuition. Her research on medical intuition is published in the peer-reviewed Journal of Alternative and Complementary Medicine, and she's the author of a new book that we're going to be talking about. It is incredible, this book, so I highly, highly, highly recommend getting Essentials of Medical Intuition, A Visionary Path to Wellness. So welcome to the show, Wendy.
Thank you so much, Tasha. What a pleasure to be here with you and Mark.
Sorry about that time zone thing. We have a guest coming in from England and we were strategizing how to make that work for them. And they're like, well, it's midnight, but okay. So where are you located?
Right, I'm now on the West Coast. I'm based in Los Angeles.
You're in LA. Yeah. So let's start with, I think when people think of intuition, one of the people that to me certainly was at the forefront of making it a little more understandable was Carl Jung.
And oh, yes.
Yeah. So his definition was perception via the unconscious, to put it in a nutshell. So I'm curious, let's start with yours. What's your definition of intuition?
I like that. That's a very learned way to look at it. My definition of intuition is that everybody has it. We're born with it. It's inherent in human nature. And whether or not we choose to cultivate it or work with it is really a choice. And that's a misunderstanding about intuition, right? And I know Jung believed that about us, human nature as well, is that it's inherent in us. So the question is, do we want to cultivate it? Do we want to use it in our work? Do we want to have it as a, you know, a trusted source?
Yeah.
Or do we just,
You even use the word hardwired, which I really like.
Yeah.
We're all hardwired to have a natural intuitive skill, which is fantastic because that makes you go, right, it's a choice. It's not, do I have to learn something? It's like, am I going to evolve something that I already am good at and possess? I'm just not aware of, right?
And even if you think you're not good at it, I do call it a hardwired trait. It's something that we all have. What we find in people's stories about developing intuition is whether or not it was encouraged when they were young. And that's actually not very common most of the time with people, this kind of intuitive ability, which happens, kind of can show up at quite a young age, gets very thwarted or shut down. And so people don't even know that it's something that you can have and use and develop.
It's kind of related to the question I was going for, which is, why do you think people are so, it's as if we revere rational, conscious mind kind of thinking as a society. I mean, I'm generalizing, but that seems to be how it is, and are far more skeptical of something that is intuitive. Why do you think that is?
Well, there's a lot of superstition. There's a lot of cultural taboos. I teach people in the healthcare profession, and certainly in conventional medicine, that is a subject that is off limits, which is very ironic because both nurses and doctors of all kinds use their intuition constantly and are actually respected for it, even if they don't talk about it. So it's one of these funny subjects that has so many, I would say, centuries of taboo around it, that we really don't know what to do with it or how to talk about it.
I just, as you were talking, I intuitively got a hit that I wasn't going to talk about, but all of a sudden I thought, yeah, you're right. For centuries, it's been like this, but remember when it wasn't? Meaning back to the ancestors, back to the matriarchs that were actually working with medicines and intuition, and it was respected and revered. So I wonder if there wasn't a backlash that actually has to do with patriarchy that occurred somewhere in there too.
No doubt. But you'll also find in indigenous cultures, this kind of intuitive healing process still happens. Yeah. And certainly in, you know, even modern Chinese medicine, traditional Chinese medicine is based on qi. What is qi? It's energy.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
There's intuitive information in there.
Yeah.
And so many other things where we don't even call it intuition, but it actually is. So that's an interesting thing. And I delve into that a good deal in the book. But what, if you don't mind me pulling something out here for an example, people who are very clairsentient, which is a specific kind of intuitive state. Clair means clear, sentient means feeling. So they can feel other people's information. They might feel their emotions or their physical information as well, physical pain. That kind of skill, we actually have a word for it in our society. We call it compassion, right? What is compassion? It's feeling other people's emotions and relating to them. That's a very clairsentient or empathic state, which is recognized as an intuitive state that one could develop if one wanted to, or people are naturally drawn to that kind of intuitive state. So every type of intuition has a correlation in terms of what society understands about the use of it, but the words of it, you know, the understanding of how you could cultivate it is still very much not understood, put it that way.
Right. And just because you brought up the clairs, let's mention the other two. We might as well, because someone might be listening, and I think it'd be lovely to have a little bit of an overview where a person could ask themselves a question of which is my system, which is my access point. So do you mind going over the other two clairs at least?
Well, there's more than three,
but I will go over some of the major ones.
Yeah.
Let's do the basics. Yeah.
Absolutely. Claircognizant, I would say, is probably the most common clair out there. That means clear knowing, cognizant knowing. And what does that mean? Well, we call that in our society gut feelings. I just had a hunch, right? We call it mother's intuition, women's intuition, right? We call it Wall Street intuition here in the States. It's really something that humans really get. We really get this. I just knew. I don't know how I knew it, but I knew it. That kind of claircognizance is common. And people would recognize it in when they think about somebody in their life and that person texts them or calls them or emails them, like that happens almost instantaneously sometimes. That claircognizance is probably the most common. The other clairs that I could talk about is clairaudient, meaning hearing, right? Clear hearing. You just, you know, get a word or a hit or something like that. We call that the still small voice you hear in prayer or meditation, right? We actually have a context for that. And the one that I use, which is probably the least common in terms of people just naturally developing it, is clairvoyance, meaning clear seeing, voyance to see, right? French words. And clairvoyance has a bad rap because that comes from years of superstition and, you know, fortune telling and all that wild stuff. And there's nothing wrong with any of that. It's just not the way medical intuition works, right? It's not, that's not the purpose of it. So I use that in order to see visually in my mind's eye with visualization type of techniques that are intuitive in nature to see into the body, to see into the biofield, which is the auric field and the chakra system, to see into the life history, to look for the root causes of issues.
And I notice in your book, too, you're inviting people to experience or expand in all of those different areas, right? Because the, you know, it's funny when you say in the clairaudient, it's a small, quiet voice. My voice isn't quiet in my head. It's like I go, what?
Neither is mine. No, mine has always been pretty bossy. And, you know, that was an early one for me, is recognizing myself as clairaudient and then building on that.
Yeah. Well, that's the part I love in your book. It's, I think it does show people how easy it is to build on these things that we all have. And you might be more attuned to one than the other, but you can absolutely become versed in all of them if you, and this is what I want to really dig into today, if you learn to, I think it's about trust. I think if I was to ask you, what is the number one saboteur or obstacle for people accessing their intuition, what do you think it is?
Yeah, I would agree with you on that, Tasha. Trust is a huge part of it. And also validation of your intuition is a big part of it, which is why I encourage people to keep a journal, keep a notebook, and just jot down when you have some flash of insight, is what I call it, just flash of information, write it down. And that way you can go back later and look through your journal and see, was I right? Did that come through? Or was that information validated in some way? That's what builds confidence. It builds trust. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what's your story? What's your path that brought you to a place where you obviously trust your intuition and teach other people how to do that now too?
Well, it was a long road, but I really sort of start where I became a medical intuitive with my studies in energy medicine. And I studied for a long time. I taught energy medicine for many years. And I noticed that I also studied intuitive development and taught intuitive development, but those two paths didn't cross over. You know, they were very separate and for a good reason. I noticed though, as an energy healer, energy healing practitioner, I was seeing into the body. I was seeing right into the body systems, the physical anatomy and physiology. And with that information, I was also able to see into the life history of a person and where this issue began. I'll give you a little basis for this. The basis of medical intuition is that every physical imbalance has a root, and the root is not only physical, but it could also be emotional, mental, spiritual. So that information is really juicy, right? There's a lot of good stuff in there for people. So I noticed that as an energy healer, when I was working with someone's physical, you know, energy field, whatever, I could remove a lot of, like all energy healers, you remove a lot of blocks, right? But people would come back with the same issue over and over again. And I started getting curious about this information that I could see. Could it be helpful for them? So I started giving what I call a medical intuitive assessment prior to any healing session for a number of reasons. Number one, to see what the information was in their energy that could keep something stuck. And number two, was my modality the right one for them? Because what if it isn't? Right? Why would I use something on someone, give something to someone or work with someone if it wasn't going to help them ultimately? And also what else could help them? So that was a real turning point for me. And I noticed that that information was so validating for people. So, and not just validating, so powerful that many people were able to just let go of those blocks they'd been holding on to for decades. Just by hearing that information, their body and their biofield wanted them to know.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, two things I really want to talk about connected with what you're saying. And one is trauma and the other is systemic, the systemic, how it is affecting us systemically. Because I think for people, well, let's start with trauma. And, you know, everyone, most people understand that trauma affects the body, the mind, and can result in physical illness. But I don't know that everyone understands how those energetic blockages occur. Maybe we could start with that.
I talk about that a good deal in the book. It is really the cornerstone of this kind of work, medical intuitive work, is we want to look to see where those patterns were created, why they were created, how can they possibly shift so that someone can actually, you know, move through things and let go of things and release and heal. This is a big subject, but there's certainly a lot of research on it. ACEs, right? Adverse childhood experiences, when they're finding that early life trauma can lead to physical health imbalances that you wouldn't put together normally, right? Mm-hmm. Epigenetics, that's about trauma coming down the family line through generations and how it can affect us in the present. Psychoneuroimmunology, this wonderful new field that talks about how our immune system and our nervous system relate to trauma and how it can really affect our health. So there's actually right now tons of amazing data on this idea that our emotions, our life history, all of that affect our health in a very direct way.
Mm-hmm. The thing with, you have beautiful meditations on your website, and I did do the body wisdom one.
Yes.
And there was a question that you asked that immediately, it's funny, I think I've been accessing my mind to answer that same question, but because someone else was leading it,
yes,
it allowed me to just trust my first hit, which was so, there was no wavering, and it was clearly systemic.
Yes.
So then my next question is, and it's not new information, in terms of, it's a history of World War II and starvation and concentration camps, and it was just crystal clear. But my next question was, the clearing of it, is it any different if it's systemic than if it's an actual trauma that you experienced yourself in childhood?
Systemic meaning down the family line?
Oh, it didn't happen to me. I wasn't in the camp. I wasn't starving.
So
it's in me.
Do you know that comes down through your ancestral line, or was that past life kind of?
No. My mother, family. Yeah.
Got it. Understood.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there are many, many healing avenues, many avenues to healing. I mean, I think it's unlimited how many avenues there are to healing. In what medical intuitives are pretty much known for are some of them anyway, the ones that I teach, we're known for the people that have run out of options, right? They're out there and conventional medicine hasn't given them the relief they're looking for. So what we're looking for with medical intuition is what can help. So not just why something is there, but what can help. And this is what I find honestly the most fascinating about this work, because I don't have a medical background. Right? So I do not diagnose, absolutely not. That's for a licensed medical provider. I do not prescribe. I do not prognose. But what I can do is ask the body what it wants, what it's asking for, what it needs. And I learn personally so much from doing that, because the body and the energy field has information that I don't have in my own body of knowledge. So if you say, well, what can help heal? That would mean I would get to look in your energy and ask your body and your physiology and your biofield, well, what do you want to balance? What could help here?
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's a very important piece of the puzzle of medical intuition.
So release is not the focus.
Is the focus.
Okay.
Information.
Okay.
Yeah. And frankly, information is very much what can be missing in the healing process.
Interesting. Yeah, no, I loved it. And again, I suggest that anyone who wants an experience, it's just one of your offerings. I think it's 7 minutes long, beautiful guided meditation. And you ask that question in it as well. What do you need? What do you want? Or however you phrase it, what would help you? And that was no problem either, except it still leaves me, it was, you know, this spark wanting to dance rather than this concave thing that I was seeing that was so shriveled.
Yeah.
But it still leads me to the how. I guess that's where I keep wanting to go, okay, does that literally mean dance, or does it mean you know, how do you interpret the information that you get to facilitate healing?
Well, now that wonderful, and thank you for pointing that beautiful audio out, because I'm very proud of it. It's called Your Body's Wisdom, and it's on the practicalpath.com guided meditations page. And that particular 7-minute audio has, you know, really helped a lot of people get in touch with their bodies and ask the right questions and get some good answers. Mm-hmm. So the how is part of the training. It's part of the learning curve of how we gather that information and impart it to the client. So how could be anything from dancing to various modalities, to referrals, to different kinds of practitioners. There's some stories in the book, one in particular about a young man named Jerry who'd suffered from back pain, debilitating back pain for decades, and had no consciousness of how this came about. It's a really interesting story. I won't go too far into it. But what I want to pull out here is that when I asked his spine, literally his spine, what it wanted to heal, it showed me 5 or 6 different modalities he hadn't even thought about. So that's a big part of the how, right?
Do you think it's easier for someone else to read that energy? Can we be too close to our own situation? Is that part of it? Or is it the opposite? That actually, if you got comfortable with this process, you could read yourself better than anyone?
Well, you know, it's both, honestly, Tasha, because there are some issues that we're so emotional about that's really hard to get that neutrality feeling. Yeah. Neutrality is a big word in my world. It means our energy is neutral, our mind is neutral, our ability to, you know, have that conversation with our body, or for me, somebody else's body and energy field. I have to have that neutral state. And sometimes that's very hard to achieve, particularly when it's an emotional driven issue, and many illnesses are. Yeah. So is it easier to talk with somebody? Yeah. I mean, sure.
Yeah,
absolutely. And a good qualified medical intuitive will be able to hold that space of neutrality so they can give you clear information and clean information.
I know your book touches. Yeah.
So, Wendy, when you're doing this work and you're working with so many different people, are you seeing any commonalities or patterns of like a systemic problem that are for the many?
Well, I will say this. Gut health is really, really a major issue for so many people. And it is one of those areas that can be challenging for conventional medicine to handle. So I do see a lot of people that have that kind of thing, but believe me, that it runs the gamut. Oh gosh, Mark, your question was, do I see any patterns? The answer to that is actually I stop myself from seeing patterns. It's an interesting perspective that, you know, you may not hear from another practitioner. And that is that if we put a frame around anything as a medical intuitive, we are creating what I call a bias, that everything else has to go through that frame. And that is the opposite in my world of medical intuition. We do not want to have any definitions in that regard. Now, there's a method I teach and a practice I teach that's very systematic. But when I look in Tasha's body, I'm going to see something different than when I look in Mark's body, even if there's a similar issue going on, because no two human beings are alike anyway. I don't care what goes on. We all process things differently. We process them energetically, emotionally, spiritually, and physically differently. In that conventional medicine world, they call that cookie cutter medicine. And it's really been one of the difficulties people face.
I wonder, though, if I may keep going with Mark's question, because when I think of Louise Hayes and I think of, you know, her taking specific ailments and tuning into what an affirmation might be to work with that ailment, yes. That kind of pattern maybe isn't happening while you're working, but have you noticed after the fact that you go, huh, like the autoimmune one, which so many people seem to have, is that self-attacking self? Is that a common kind of thread or theme, or, you know, with weight, is it about protection or those kinds of things? Do you see that?
No, I don't, honestly, because everybody is so different. So I love Louise Hay's work. I'm a huge fan. I was privileged to meet her in my younger days and, you know, be part of her early group in Los Angeles. It was really an amazing experience. And her work really brought mind-body medicine to the forefront and, you know, bless her for that. I consider that kind of, if it's this, it must be that kind of thinking, honestly, and I don't mean to sound anything, but the way I work, it's a little remedial, to be totally honest, from the medical intuitive perspective. Just the same way as when we look at the chakra system and we say, well, the first chakra is always about security and health, and, you know, and the third chakra is always about this. Well, it's a great touch point, but what if I look in your third chakra and I see something completely different? Does that mean I'm wrong? You're wrong, you know? So we want to see what's there regardless of the frames that people have put around things.
Yeah, bringing up the chakra. So it is lovely if you're interpreting something and you know which part of the body, which chakra is responding. It is kind of, I find, super helpful to go,
very,
you know, this is the area we're working with, or at least as an overview to enter.
And then you nailed it. It is a great touch point. And that's the way I use these concepts that have been developed over millennia. They are phenomenal and they're very, very valid and valuable. As a medical intuitive, I have to see if there's, what else is there, you know, what else is going on. And if there's any more information that may not specifically relate to that one particular way of looking at it.
Do you think it's more effective, or again, does it vary person to person, to work associating or dissociating? So back to that meditation that you offered, you put it up on a computer screen, what one was visualizing, which part of the body the person was working with.
Sure.
But then I also wondered about you, one of the techniques that you offered that I dearly love and I'm going to use, actually, I immediately started associating it. So I wanted off the screen and I was doing my own body.
Good for you. Absolutely. The screen is an element of neutrality, right? Uh-huh. And some people really like that because, you know, I don't know about the word dissociation, but it is, you know, kind of removing it, if that's what you mean. Yeah.
Well, putting it out of the body. One is in.
Especially for emotional things that have a very strong emotional charge. Sometimes that's a useful tool. So you can certainly just talk right to your body. I do that all day. How you doing there? What's going on?
Do you need permission to read somebody, or do you just
without question? Absolutely. I'm sorry to interrupt you because it's such a good question. Yes, permission and ethical practices are paramount for this skill set, and it is unfortunately also not hugely understood or even well taught, I think, out there in the world. And I'm hoping, you know, that my book and other people who are moving towards legitimizing and validating these skills understand that our good ethical practices must be in play. So permission, oh my goodness, yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Verbal permission, written permission, consents, all of that stuff has to be there.
It really, ethics is such a well, it's not black and white, which is what makes it so complex, right? Each person looking at a situation is going to interpret differently, but having an awareness of the degree of power you have when somebody's come to you, I think, is another area people, there are a lot of people practicing lots of different things without that awareness. And that is part of what makes it, what's the word I want to use? Concerning. Maybe, you know,
I think
go ahead.
I was going to say, it's certainly concerning for the medical world.
Yeah.
It's called medical intuition after all, you know, what's happening here. It's not medicine by any stretch. And that word, you know, can be a little charged, but the point is that medical intuitives, because we are looking very closely at someone's body, for me, it looks very much like looking at an MRI. For some, it looks like an X-ray. For others, they might get different kinds of intuitive impressions. But the point is that we're working with what you could call health information, you know, someone's health information, their bodies and their biofields, which stores life information. So we want to adjunct and support licensed healthcare providers such as yourself. We want to adjunct and support medicine, doctors, you know, that's where we really belong. We belong as part of a healthcare team. Mm-hmm. So that's how I look at it.
What do you think it's going to take for society, for the world to open up to this so that it works hand in hand instead of feeling like one is in the camp of woo-woo and the other is in the camp of science and it's like never the twain shall meet? What's it going to take?
It's going to take research. It's going to take open-mindedness. And it's going to take a kind of a tipping point of people telling their physicians and their healthcare providers that they got this great information. Can it be followed up on? Every client I see hears from me and all of my students, whatever you hear in this, whatever comes into the session, you must take it to your doctors. You have to get those tests done, you know, or whatever shows up in the session. Their doctors, their primary care providers, no matter what they are, naturopathic doctors, you know, conventional medicine, functional medicine, integrative medicine, these, and, you know, psychotherapy and psychology and all those areas as well. This is where it needs to filter through. And one thing I want to point out, here's the good news. We have had about, 40, 50 years of mind-body medicine in the public, you know, awareness, yoga, meditation, you know, mind-body techniques. Well, guess what? Integrative healthcare and functional medicine are bringing those into conventional medicine. It's already happening. So we're living in a really exciting time for this. So the job of medical intuition is to, and medical intuitives in my, from my perspective, is to, and also energy healers as well, is we want more science. We want something that can validate this to that world, which lives on empirical data. And to that end, you know, in my book, it's a lot of it is about what is the research out there? Why has this not been researched more thoroughly and what can be done in the future? And I'm very proud, if you don't mind me segueing a little bit, to talk about my research. I noticed that it had been about 20 years or a little longer than that since the last study on medical intuition as a skill set had been done. Now, there's lots of research on intuition for nurses and doctors, believe it or not, but as a skill set that you can actually use, right? Not some flash of insight. That had not been done very much. You could probably count them on two hands, you know, how many studies have been done since really, I want to say this, the 70s or the late 60s. So I decided that it was time for some new research. And I worked with some of my colleagues down at the University of California, San Diego School of Medicine. We put together a survey, kind of a subjective survey of 67 volunteers, really, and five of my certified graduates. And we came out with some phenomenal numbers, really unexpected in many ways, even though we knew we had anecdotally high accuracy rates. We found 94% accuracy in the medical intuitive's location and evaluation of the participant's primary health issue.
Wow.
That's a pretty phenomenal number. We also saw 98% accuracy in the medical intuitive's reviewing life history. Now, these are blinded, by the way. We did no health intake. The medical intuitives had no idea what was someone was coming in for.
It was in person.
It was on the phone or in the internet or in person. So again, we did it as blinded as we could, right? So the medical intuitives actually have their eyes closed. So there's no visual contact. We also had no health intake, none of that. It was a cold reading, you'd call it. We found 98% accuracy. That's what was the gauge. For life history issues that could have led to this health imbalance. And it was the participants recognized this, right? We also found a 94% consistency with a known medical diagnosis for those participants who had a known medical diagnosis. And again, no information ahead of time. Wow. And much more. And all of that is was published in the Journal of Alternative and Complementary Medicine in 2020. And again, this is the first published research in over 20 years.
Are these people you've trained who, again, were the intuitives, the medical intuitives?
They were people that completed their certification in the medical intuitive training. So they're certified practitioners and they are all trained in a very specific method. So we wanted to see how, you know, efficient and effective this method was. And we came out with these really pretty phenomenal numbers, which has gotten the attention of many in the healthcare world. So we're very excited about this. And just to put a little pearl out there is that I'm currently participating and collaborating with another research organization to develop another study that will even corroborate yeah. this kind of skill set even further.
I love that. I think it's so important, and it always excites me when either science gets on board with something that you've known,
yes.
or the other way around, you know, where it's not, well, the separation is just not necessary, right? It's not. They work yes. together so beautifully if we allowed them to. It doesn't have to be this chasm in between. That's
yes.
great that you're doing that.
Well, thank you. And I know you are too. And, you know, all those out there that are listening and watching, you know, bridging that gap is what we need.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, I wonder, just talk a little bit more. I know you're training people, and maybe you can mention that, how long the program is, what you offer. But I'd love to give the listeners some nuggets, because what I notice, I think many of the things that would teach a person to be a medical intuitive will also help your life. I mean,
it will help you live
a balanced life, mentally, physically, spiritually. Like, it's impossible to be intuitive if you're out of balance, really, right? If you're
it's challenging, yeah.
all over the place. So let's touch on that. And if you can don't mind giving a few specifics of some of the beginning steps, because I think it will help people in their lives to even hear about this.
I'd be honored to. What I teach every student who comes through the program, and also there's the audios for this on the website as well. And in the book, I talk about it and give exercises as well. And that's called energy hygiene. You know, we think about physical hygiene, especially now washing your hands all the time, you know, with the pandemic. But what about your energy? Are you keeping your energy clean? Are you balanced in your own daily life? So there's three steps to that. There's actually many, but the three that I think are the basics. And the most fundamental and foundational. Number one is grounding. And that's a very simple technique. And most people have heard of this if you've been involved in the spiritual world at all or the energy world at all. And that's just grounding through your feet or through the base of your spine or, you know, however you choose to do it. You can sit down, you can stand up, and just connecting with the earth. You can just do it energetically in your mind's eye. That connection is very useful in keeping yourself in the present moment in your body. That's number one. The second skill I would say is keeping others' energies at, you know, not being so porous energetically, right? So what we want to do is keep some sort of energetic buffer up around us, right? And that doesn't mean we keep people away. It means we keep ourselves from absorbing other people's energies, which is very, very common for intuitive people. Not just clairsentience, right? Very common. It's actually very common for everybody. So we're living in a time of great upheaval and, you know, drama really on the planet. So how useful is it to have our own energy? I don't really like the word protection because it means that you keep something out. It's more like shielding, right? We want to shield ourselves when we choose to so that we don't feel like we're being bombarded by information. Mm-hmm. So grounding and shielding and releasing whatever's in your energy field. If you feel overloaded, you feel heavy, or you feel just negative or something like that. Affirmations are wonderful. There's many, many ways to shift the balance of your energy. One of the skills I like is literally just pulling it out and putting it in a pretty little soap bubble and sending it up and popping it. And that's also an audio on the website. And those are really simple. Sometimes people are like, well, that's just so simple. But yeah. when you start using them, you really yeah. can experience the shift that it has in your energy field and the value of it.
The one that I love all three. Yeah, I don't use the word protection either. So I would say if I'm connected on the vertical and that's where how I'm running my energy, I don't have time to let somebody hook into me. They don't hook in on the horizontal. But it's
like that.
Same vibe. But listen to this one, because this just hit me a couple of weeks ago, where I've been struggling with a difficult human relationship, not a personal, like not close. So from a distance, you know, where someone's behaving in a way where you want to call them Karen, but you won't, because I don't want to hurt all my friends who are called Karen. But we all know what I'm talking about. Somebody who's unfairly getting in your business for no reason whatsoever other than whatever they've got going on. And it has shook up my world, like shook up something for no reason. There's no reason. So I could see that the road to go down of how unfair this was right there in front of me. And I also know how much not the opposite of fun that road is. I'm so not interested in being somebody's victim ever again. So this filling up with energy of whether it's compassion, strength, whatever it is you name, all of a sudden it hit me as I would be passing him. And I'm a person who acknowledges people. Hi. I stopped saying hi. So I saw it was affecting my system, this person, right? And I thought, no, I can't live like this. This is too toxic for me, ignoring. Like it takes too much energy. So I filled up and then I realized it's got to go somewhere. Like when I'm full of compassion, I'm not just going to like hold on to my little bubble of compassion. It has to leave my body. So I started showering him with it. Every time we'd pass, I'd be so full, I would just pour it out like a color or words, right? And then I saw a thing by Neil Donald Walsh where he said, your day is going to be better being blessed by this encounter or something like that. It was just beautiful words. And all of a sudden, he responded differently. It took about a week.
Isn't that interesting?
Oh my God. So from not talking, all of a sudden he's like, well, happy Mother's Day. Like this is in passing. And I went, okay, I guess that's a start. You know what I mean? Finding, again, that's just trusting your own intuition when you work with energy, that there are ways that you could creatively use it that will benefit your life and playing with it, right? There's no wrong way.
I think that.
The point is there's no wrong way to do any of this, is there?
As long as it feels good, as long as it's fun, as long as it enlightens you and enlivens you, and it makes you feel like, you know, you have some mastery over your energetic state, we can't create in the world of other people. That's for them. Yeah. Right. But we do, and we can have some mastery over our own energetic state. And what a blessing and a gift that is. And how interesting to see that when we shift our energy, miraculous things can occur. So, you know, that's not the point of it. The point of it is for us to, it's a lot of, you know, law of attraction talks about this a good deal. And if your listeners are familiar with that, that's a great place to start with understanding that dynamic.
Mm-hmm. And so the course that you've got coming up, are they ongoing? Do you have some new ones starting? Maybe let's just give our listeners some concrete details.
Sure, absolutely. So there are a couple of programs I teach. The main one is the medical intuitive training. That one is for wellness practitioners of all kinds, from health coaches to MDs, you know, everything in between. And there's some information on the website about that if there's any questions about who qualifies for that program. That is a one-year program in two different levels. It is taught live online. And it's taught one weekend a month. The first level is 4 months. The second level is 5 months. And it's a certification track. So there's, you know, homework and there's case studies and there's a lot of work. It's a lot of fun. The other one I want to talk about is for everyone. And that's a workshop called Medical Intuition for Healing. That workshop will give anyone who's interested the tools and skills to develop that mind-body connection so that we can have a conversation with our own systems, our own body parts, and find out what they want and need. And there's lots of good stuff in that. And I encourage people to take a look at that one. That is taught live online as well. I will be teaching one in July of this year live online. And later in the year, I'm going to be coming out with a self-study version of that program as well.
Awesome. So all that information, I know, Mark, you're going to put the links up, but it's also already up, but also at your website, Practical. Tell us again,
thepracticalpath.com. Three words all together in one, The Practical Path.
And your book, it's available most of the local suspects, Amazon, all those.
So it's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It should be available wherever books are sold. It's available worldwide. And that is Essentials of Medical Intuition, A Visionary Path to Wellness.
Were there any we've only got a few more minutes, but I just want to make sure there's nothing that you feel you'd really love to get out to the listeners that we haven't touched on. Is there anything that from the book that you would like to talk about?
Well, one of the things I'm very proud of in the book, not only the research, but also the amount of doctors and nurses and people in conventional medicine that step forward to talk about medical intuition and the value of it to medicine. And, you know, I was blown away by the endorsements and the people who wanted to really bring their voices forward. Mind-body medicine is, you know, it's known. Medical intuition is not well known. So they wanted to validate this. And the pretty much the bottom line with everybody's understanding of this work and this skill is that if people really understood it, this would be a paradigm shift in medicine. And that's really what we're going for. And I'll say I'm very, very blessed in that I have taught and presented on medical intuition at the Andrew Weil Center, at the Academy for Integrative Health and Medicine, at UCLA is coming up, at University of Denver Integrative Set. I mean, it's just the list goes on. The medical students that are coming through now are interested in this.
Hallelujah.
Which is incredibly exciting. And I see a vision for the future that can really include intuitive skills front and center in healthcare.
I love it. I love it. It's inspirational to think that could occur and that would be our future. I think it's brilliant. So just before we close up, from your heart to the world, we like to give people wishes. Hmm. When you think about what's going on globally and everyone who's listening and what is it that you wish for everyone?
Oh, my goodness. I would say I wish for everyone to develop an understanding and a connection of their own inner wisdom and guidance. That is such an important navigation skill, you could say, to navigate life, to connect with your own guidance, to connect with your own inner wisdom, and trust it and follow it. It has made my life, it has been so much value to my life, and I know the value it brings to others. So I would say, consider that, consider cultivating that relationship with your intuition.
Mm-hmm. Beautifully said. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Really
thank you so much
it.
For having me. It's been such an honor.
We've been speaking with Wendy Coulter and talking about the essentials of medical intuition. All the links Mark's got up there on the site, again, available as a podcast, consciouslivingradio.org, and then airs Wednesday nights, 6 to 7 at 100.5 FM in Vancouver. Thank you so much for joining, everyone.
Only hope.
You have been listening to Conscious Living Radio. For free show downloads, additional information about our guests and topics, or details about upcoming programs, check us out at consciousliving.org.